Isn't it nice to know that we're sitting in here high and dry while God is washing our cars for us? This past Friday was Veterans Day, and I don't know about you, but I had a feeling that it kind of sneaked in and sneaked out without much notice. And that's sad. And my dad used to say, if you're thankful that you're not speaking German or Japanese, thank a vet. And I would like to do that this morning. If you are a veteran, would you please stand? Please stand. Thank you for serving. God. We're going to continue our study in 2 Peter. And for the past 2 weeks, we've looked at what a Christian is supposed to look like. Last week, we looked at what we're supposed to know and believe. Today, we look at the profile of a false teacher. Now, false teachers are not easy to pick out. And they're not sinister, beady-eyed looking individuals. They look like anybody else. And they can usually speak very fluently. They are very gifted and usually attractive, either physically or charismatically. But what they teach is easy to understand. It's comfortable. It's popular. But mostly, it's non-convicting, which makes it appealing to, say, the average everyday person. But if they're not easy to find out, then what do we do? How do we know? Well, we're going to look into some of the insights that Peter gives us this morning. Now, I have to make a disclaimer to today's sermon. It is going to be a very, very academic sermon. And we're just going to be listing things off, all right? Because of basically what Peter does. So consider yourself sitting in a college classroom, taking a course in second, yeah, we already failed. taking a course in 2 Peter, chapter 2. So if you would join me as we read. Peter says, there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow their shameful ways and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with their stories they have made up. Their condemnation has long been hanging over them, and their destruction has not been sleeping. For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but sent them to hell, putting them into gloomy dungeons to be held for judgment, if he did not spare the ancient world when he brought the flood on its ungodly people, but protected Noah, a preacher of righteousness, and 7 others, if he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah by burning them to ashes and made them an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly, and if he rescued Lot, a righteous man who was distressed by the filthy lives of lawless men. For that righteous man, living among them day after day, was tormented in his righteous soul by the lawless deeds he saw and heard. If this is so, then the Lord knows how to rescue godly men from their trials and to hold the unrighteous for the day of judgment while continuing their punishment. This is especially true of those who follow the corrupt desire of the sinful nature and despise authority. Bold and arrogant, these men are not afraid to slander celestial beings. Yet even angels, although they are stronger and more powerful, do not bring slanderous accusations against such beings in the presence of the Lord. But these men blaspheme in matters they do not understand. They are like brute beasts, creatures of instinct, born only to be caught and destroyed. Like beasts, they too will perish. They will be paid back with harm for the harm they have done. Their idea of pleasure is to carouse in broad daylight. They are blots and blemishes, reveling in their pleasures while they feast with you. With eyes full of adultery, they never stop sinning. They seduce the ungodly, the unstable. They are experts in greed and an accursed brood. They have left the straight way and wandered off to follow the way of Balaam, son of Beor, who loved the wages of wickedness. But he was rebuked for his wrongdoing by a donkey, a beast without speech, who spoke with a man's voice and restrained the prophet's madness. These men are springs without water and mists driven by a storm. Blackest darkness is reserved for them, for they mouth empty, boastful words and by appealing to the lustful desires of sinful human nature, they entice people who are just escaping from those who live in error. They promise them freedom, while they themselves are slaves of depravity. For a man is a slave to whatever has mastered him. We'll stop there. Father God, we do again thank you for Peter. Thank you for his words. And Lord, we know that today what we look at is relevant because there are so many false teachers around us. So help us to understand what Peter is saying, and Lord, help me to present it well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Peter starts off by saying that false teachers will secretly introduce destructive heresies. If you remember, Satan can masquerade as an angel of light. And so false teachers can do the same thing, which means they can easily sneak their way into a church. And they do so to get involved in the church. And then eventually they want to get into the leadership of the church. And once they are there, they will start presenting a new truth or a new revelation of God's word. But really all they're doing is repackaging old lies to make them look like the truth. And they will not expose their false teaching to begin with. They will continue, they will continue, they will continue. Eventually, they will leave out the truth, leaving only their lies. And that causes disruption within the body of Christ because it forces us to choose between their doctrines and the doctrines of true Christianity. But in the end, what it will do is it will divide a church. And I think we have seen that within the past few years. The Episcopal Church being one, United Methodist Church being another, where people got into these churches and began to change their beliefs, change their doctrines. And what do we end up with? We end up with splits within those denominations. And I'm sure there's probably others that have done the same thing. But Peter also says in verse 1 that they will deny the Lord. And the word deny means contradict, reject, or disavow. They will be known more for what they deny than what they affirm. Now, I want to give you a list of things they deny. I'm going to try to go through it a little bit slower so that you can write them down. You have a worksheet in your bulletin. You're welcome to write these things down on that worksheet. We'll leave them up on the screen just a tad bit longer as well, giving you that opportunity. All right? But the first thing they deny is the inspiration of the Bible. Next, they deny the sinfulness of man. They deny the sacrificial death of Christ on the cross. They deny the Trinity. They deny salvation by faith alone. They deny the reality of eternal judgment and the reality of hell. And they deny the deity of Christ and his bodily resurrection. And beyond that, Peter says that they will exploit you with stories they have made up. And the phrase feigned words in some translations, or the word stories, is the Greek word from where we get our word plastic from. So it's the idea that this is something that is moldable. They will use words that can be molded and fabricated in order to deceive people. Warren Wiersbe says they use our vocabulary, but they do not use our dictionary. And the word exploit means to make merchandise of you. This denotes buying and selling. They use their victims to exploit them as merchandise. But now, in verses 10 through 19, Peter begins to give us a very comprehensive list of what a false teacher looks like. And again, if you take that sheet of paper and flip it over, you'll find a place where you can fill these in as well. And the first thing he says is that a false teacher will follow the corrupt desires of the sinful nature. This indicates they are indulging in an uncontrolled lust of the flesh. And the lust of the flesh is contradictory to the Spirit of God. And they'll be the ones who will indulge in sinful behavior while still claiming to be a member of God's church. And fewer things can hinder Christ's work than someone who claims to be a Christian but has a very bad reputation. Next, Peter says that they will despise authority. A very basic symptom of sin is the rejection of authority, especially God's authority. But what does Scripture tell us about those that God has put in leadership over us? Are we not supposed to respect them? Are we not supposed to pray for them and obey them? And that it is a serious matter to oppose them? But if we are to oppose them, we better make sure that we are doing it in God's will and in such a manner that it will be glorifying to God. But when living in sin and living in the flesh, there is no desire whatsoever to submit to any kind of authority. And as a result, they become daring and shameless. As Peter says, they are bold and arrogant. That's our next one, by the way. They are bold and arrogant. You see, sin leads to arrogance. It leads to pride. And they will tear down others while building themselves up. And they will do anything to promote themselves and to protect themselves. They are men who are ruled by their own self-interest. In other words, hey, what's in this for me? The next thing Peter says, they are not afraid to slander celestial beings or dignitaries. They're not afraid to speak of evil of those people in high places who deserve to be praised. In fact, what they will do is they will belittle them and even try to control them because they think they're better than everyone else. But not only that, but they will slander the angels, God, and Christ. Verse 12, Peter says they will speak evil of things they don't understand. They are irrational and abusive when it comes to the things of God. Those living in the flesh cannot understand the things of the Spirit, and therefore they will replace God's divine revelation, human wisdom, and logic with downright stupidity. And that is displayed by their outbursts against those who believe in God's truth. Verse 13, they carouse in broad daylight, reveling in their pleasures. To carouse means to riot. Those who abandon the truth of God's word will often become visibly immoral, and they have no regard for the normal moral behavior. Most people choose to hide their immorality under the dark cover of darkness. Thus the phrase, men love darkness better than light. But these men, these false teachers, will take their sins, which they used to hide in the closet, and they will put them out on the front yard for all to see. They do not care when or where they display their immorality. See, they are so caught up in their sins that they think their vices are their virtues. Verse 13 continues that Peter calls them spots and blemishes. They're compared to pigs and dogs, by the way, not sheep. But that's because they are brute creatures who follow their natural instincts. They abandon table manners when they eat with you. They become unruly, especially after a few drinks. They are an unwanted, ugly stain as they become disrespectful. False doctrine leads to false living. And false living encourages false doctrine. Because what do you have to do? You got to take God's word and you got to bend it all up. You got to twist it all around in order to justify your sinful behaviors. But this also carries with it the idea of luxury and extravagance. False teachers are usually rich, but they gain their wealth from the people who support their ministry. And what they do is they're going to flatter you with pretty words. They're going to tell you how great you are, how beautiful you look, and all the rest of it. But all they're doing is trying to get you sucked into their cult so that they can siphon your money away from you so they can gain wealth. Verse 14, Peter says that their eyes are full of adultery. They use people for their own pleasures. They'll join a church for two reasons. One, to satisfy their own lustful desires, and two, to capture converts for their own cause. Next, verse 14. Peter says that they never stop sinning. This means that their sinning is never ending. They are so deep in their sin that they cannot restrain it. They keep their eyes open looking for loose women, and they find it impossible to look at a woman without lusting after her. Peter continues. He says they seduce the unstable. What they do is they kind of set traps for those who are unstable, those who have not yet been rooted in God's word. But what this is a picture of a fisherman baiting a hook. So just get that mental image in your head. What they do is with their false words, with their pretty words, with their flowing words, they throw that bait out there. And then they catch it. And they reel you in. Next. Peter says that they are experts in greed. They've trained themselves through continual practice to be greedy and to covet that which does not belong to them. Continuing on, Peter says that they are an accursed brood. They're cursed by God, and unfortunately, they will draw others away from God's truth so that they too will end up under the same curse. And sadly, they end up in many of our church pulpits, where if they're not in the pulpit, they're in a place of authority and power within the church organization. And yet, they have never experienced the grace of God. Moving into verse 15, Peter says, they have left the straight and narrow path and are wandering around. The problem with sin is it takes us off that straight and narrow path and it leads us down that broad path of destruction. Next, verse 17, Peter says, they are springs without water. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means they're all dried up. They have nothing to offer us. There's nothing that they have because they don't have God's word. They can't give us God's word. They cannot give us anything to quench our thirst because they are just dried up. They've dug to the depths, but there's still nothing there. And yet they will confess to have this living water that saves. But really all they have is a pit so deep that it becomes their grave. Continuing in verse 17, Peter says, there are mists driven by a storm. They're like clouds. They're empty with rain. There's nothing in them, but they're beautiful to watch as they get blown around by the wind. But there's nothing again to offer. They have no spiritual worth. They are not, they've lost control over where they're going. They are more like a tornado that leaves a path of destruction. Moving into verse 18. Peter continues with the fact that they mouth empty, boastful words. Again, they cannot bring us the truth. Yes, they will impress us with their earthly wisdom. Yes, they will impress us with their vocabulary and their contemporary expressions. But their words will not satisfy our souls because they are devoid of God's truth. But again, what they will do is they will butter you up in order to build up their own egos. And they will scratch the itching ears of those who reject God's word. And they will do it with fables that they have made up. I like what one commentary said. He says they will blow verbal bubbles. I like that. Another good image. Verse 18, Peter continues. He says that they will entice people who are just escaping from those who live in error. What they do, again, remember, they would look for those who are unstable. They look for those who are coming out of a bad, say, religious experience. But they're looking for something better for themselves, but they haven't yet found Christ. They haven't been established in God's grace. But the apostate comes along, and he says, oh, there's somebody. I can throw that bait out. I can hook them in. And they begin to talk to him, and they begin to entice them back into their cult. I saw this take place quite a few years ago now, a young couple coming out of a bad religious experience, started coming to church, they got saved, but what happened is another cult began to visit the wife while the husband was at work. She began to buy into their bait, to buy into their false teaching. And even though we talked to her, the husband tried to talk to her, she wasn't buying it. She was hooked on what they were teaching her. And unfortunately, it led to a divorce. And that's what they will do. They divide to try and conquer. Now, let's see. Verse 19, Peter says, they promise freedom while they themselves are slaves of depravity. Sin promises what it cannot deliver. It promises freedom. Instead, it puts us in bondage. False teachers cannot give us any kind of liberty or freedom when they themselves are bound hand and foot in their sins. And unfortunately, those who are bound in their sins can easily draw others into their immorality. Now, you still with me? I might guess that with everything we have just done, you might be feeling like you took a drink out of a fire hose. Getting brain cramp. But I cannot stress enough the importance of this chapter, especially with what is going on in our culture, within the churches all around us. I think I might have shared this quite some time ago, but I'm going to share it again because it fits what we're talking about. Quite a few years ago, I took a course down in Massachusetts on interim pastoring. There were 20 other pastors, well, not 20 other, but 20 pastors total involved in this course. 10 men, 10 women. But what happened was this. Out of those 20, I would dare say that only 3 of us were what I would call believers. Myself and 2 other men who were from an Assembly of God church. As I listened to these other folks share their stories of their churches, what was going on in their church, how proud they were of some of the things they were promoting in their church, I began to think, are we reading the same Bible? Because some of the things they're promoting, God condemns. I mean, how can you do that? And I became very, disillusioned. I became very afraid for the other churches, knowing that these other 17 people were going back to their own congregations to continue proclaiming their false doctrine. And I thought, Lord, are we in trouble? Churches like ours are really in a minority. There are so many other churches out there. Let me ask you something. In your lifetime, how many churches do you know of that once preached the power of God's word that have now changed it, watered it down, or ignore some of the things that God's word says? Probably more than we care to admit. And we got to think about this. The battle that is going on in our churches is not from the outside. Churches are being destroyed from within. And Peter gives us the example of Balaam to tell us how that happens. If you remember Balaam, the king of Moab paid him big bucks to go out and curse Israel. 3 times he tried to curse Israel. 3 times God intervened. The last time his own donkey spoke to him. How weird is that? The donkey basically says, will you stop beating me? Don't you see the angels standing in the pathway? He's not going to let us go through. And so out of frustration, Balaam goes back to the king and he says, listen, God's not going to let me curse him. And you will not be able to defeat him. So here's my counsel to you. Corrupt them from within. And that is what they did. But that has been Satan's game plan ever since the beginning. Destroy the churches from within. God's churches, churches like ours. If we are not careful, we'll be destroyed from within by the subtlety of Satan. As Peter writes this section, verses 17 through 22, he uses phrases like these men. He uses the pronoun they. And these men are the false teachers who are not saved. In the book of Jude, verse 19, Jude describes false teachers as men who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. What makes for a believer is not the profession of spiritual things. It is the possession of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But these men, they're going to tell you, hey, I'm saved. I've had a religious experience. And because of that religious experience, I now have the mind of God. And He has ordained me into this ministry. And I know the way of truth. But I will supply you with that way of truth if you provide your funds for my ministry. But let me tell you something. Their experiences and their teaching are nothing but lies. They might have the head knowledge, but they've never had the transformation of the heart. We have throughout the ages been plagued by Satan's counterfeits as he sows his tares among the wheat. In other words, where God plants his true believers, Satan will plant his counterfeits. In the book of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 24 through 28, it says, Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the weeds sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. And then in verses 36 to 39, Jesus' disciples ask him to describe or to explain the parable. And he says, "The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. And the good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one. And the enemy who sows them is the devil." I challenge you as a congregation, do not get caught sleeping. Know what you believe. Pay attention to what is being preached. Do not accept any teaching that is not supported by Scripture. Beware of the false teachers, because as I said earlier, they will sneak their way into the church. They will work their way up into the leadership of the church, and they will begin to change what that church believes. They will change the doctrine. They will change the theology, and they will cause the church to split. Please, do not let that happen. Maintain the purity of God's church. Maintain the purity of God's word. Beware the false teachers. Please join me as we close in prayer. Father God, just as there were false teachers in Peter's day, there are false teachers all around us. Lord, we need to be aware of what they look like, some of their characteristics. And Lord, I do pray that you protect this church. Lord, that they will always maintain the purity of your word and the purity of the church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And quickly, before we close on page 404, your hymnal, I don't know if it's up. Okay, so it will be in your hymnal. That was extremely encouraging, Jared. I would ask all of you, you all know that we're in a pastor search, and we've had a few applicants, but it's extremely important for you to know that when we vet these people, your protection is extremely important to us, and this body is extremely important to us. And we can see the sermons online. We can find out as much as we can, but until we actually talk with these individuals, as you know, fit not only their spiritual situation, but a fit to this body is extremely important. It is our responsibility to guide in our policies and in our spiritual, I don't know what the word is, you can probably think of it better than I can explain it. This is important to protect you as so continue to pray for Phil and I and Terry and the deacons as we continue our search. That God prepares the heart of the man who walks in his body. And he makes it really good into a place. Would you all do that for us? Thank you. So in closing, let's stand one more time. Page 404 of my Babylon, as we look to the page. Verses 1, 2, and 4. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. On the second, when darkness veils his lovely face,
I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
And on the fourth,
when He shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found, rest in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
And all God's children said, Amen.